I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due. Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, prenatal chiropractor, childbirth educator, and labor doula, together with two great co-hosts. We have Ivy Joeva, a holistic nutritionist specializing in pre- and postnatal nutrition and women's health. She's been a birth doula and childbirth educator for nearly 10 years and teaches prenatal, yin, and restorative yoga. Ivy offers worldwide nutritional support and consults for new and expecting mamas and their families at prenatalnutrition.com. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Alexi Gilmore is an actor and producer who first appeared in the film World's Greatest Dad opposite Robin Williams. Her career grew quickly with a series of Bobcat Goldthwait films, and then she appeared alongside Matthew McConaughey in Yes. Surfer, Dude, and has had supporting roles in such films as Definitely, Maybe, and Jason Reitman's Labor Day, which is entirely appropriate for our podcast. Alexi has appeared in many TV series such as the Fox drama New Amsterdam, as well as guest appearances in Grey's Anatomy, Nurse Jackie, House MD, Castle, Marin, The Grinder, TNT's Legends, and as James Vanderbeek's wife on CSI Cyber, and now as George Lopez's love interest on Lopez, which can be seen on TV Land. But by far, the highlight of Alexi's career was appearing as a headless model for a fashion spread in the 2015 issue of Dr. Berlin's Informed Pregnancy Guide.
Thank you. I forgot about that. Right. Thank you.
We didn't. Alexi is also buds with our guests today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Wright Olson discovered acting at an early age as she became involved with local drama groups in her hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. Her modeling-turned-acting career sprouted at age 14 and has grown extensively since then. Most recently, Sarah can be seen in the Universal Pictures film American Maid as the female lead alongside Tom Cruise. A long list of notable film credits include Walk of Shame alongside Elizabeth Banks, 21 and Over alongside Miles Teller, and Streak, Demi Moore's directorial debut. Sarah also appeared in Surfer Dude with Matthew McConaughey. Oh,
but we did that.
That's how we met.
Oh, I was going to say, but then again, who hasn't? Sarah broke into television with the Fox series The Loop, where she starred alongside Brett Harrison and a swell actor named Eric Christian Olsen.
Mm-hmm. Who's that guy?
Baby Daddy.
It's so weird you guys have the same last name.
I know.
Coincidence. Yeah. Oh. Sarah's appeared in Mad Men, How I Met Your Mother, Happy Endings, Mixology, Hello Ladies, Mad Love, Men at Work, and Parks and Recreation, and was most recently a series regular in NBC's Marry Me. Speaking of which, in 2012, Sarah married Eric Christian Olsen. And they welcomed their first baby into the world 1 year later and are expecting baby number two in about 2 hours.
Hopefully today. <That's right.
laughs> Since having her son Wyatt, Sarah has turned much of her attention to healthy and happy pregnancy, childbirth, and parenting, and is launching a unique product line for babies and mommies and an online parenting community together with our next guest, Teresa Palmer.
Yay!
Yours and mama.
Teresa comes to us from Adelaide, Australia, and has starred in many major films, including Warm Bodies with Nicholas Holt and John Malkovich, and Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg's I Am Number 4. She stars as the female lead in Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge alongside Andrew Garfield, Vince Vaughn, and Sam Worthington. Teresa headlines the horror film Lights Out and has an additional 3 films already shot and coming soon. Past credits include Point Break, The Choice, 999 with Kate Winslet, Casey Affleck, and Woody Harrelson, Bedtime Stories with Adam Sandler, The Sorcerer's Apprentice opposite Nicolas Cage, and also Knight of Cups with Christian Bale. Teresa has collected a series of prestigious awards for acting and has also segued into working behind the camera as a director, writer, and producer. In 2011, Teresa launched Your Zen Life, a popular health, wellness, and conscious living blog, and her video series, Tez Talks, in which she discusses a wide variety of meaningful topics in search of the Zen life. I've been watching the Tez Talks, and they're awesome. Aww. Are you still doing them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. They're amazing.
I
love
them.
I'm done with TED. I'm all about TED.
No, you're about TED. Thanks.
This year, she launched Your Zen Life sister site, Your Zen Mama, together with Sarah. The site is a community for mamas and papas to feel inspired, supported, encouraged, and empowered. Teresa kind of lives here in Los Angeles with her husband Mark, their toddler son Bodie, and their stepson Isaac, and is also expecting fairly soon. Welcome to the
Another
podcast.
Another baby boy.
Another boy. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You. Thank you.
I love this group of people. You guys, first of all, are obviously doing great in your careers in entertainment, but also very, very real, down-to-earth, amazing, inspiring people. So it's truly exciting to be on the journey with you and to have you here on the podcast tonight. Let's talk a little bit about background. How did you become Zen and Zenner?
I can be Zen, you're Zenner.
Yeah.
I think you are Zenner.
Are you Zenner?
I feel like maybe.
I was sort of going with Sarah being Zen and you're Zenner.
Oh, really?
You're Zenner.
But you started Zen.
You know what? We'll let the audience.
We have to start by defining Zen and Zenner.
That's a little difficult. I'm going to let the audience decide. They can write into info@informpregnancy.com. Who is Zenner, Teresa or Sarah? Yeah, where did it come from? What are your backgrounds?
I launched Your Zen Life in 2011. I guess it was a really interesting transitional period in my life because I was coming out of feeling really sad about leaving my home and coming to Los Angeles. And then I was in a really soulless kind of place. I was acting and getting all these films and it was exciting. But at the same time, there was such a void within me, which I realized the only way I could fill that was by actually doing some self-development work. And I ended up grounding myself in some sort of spirituality, which is where my interest in conscious living and wellness and all those sorts of things kind of was born, because I had no idea about that stuff in Adelaide. Like I wasn't around anyone who practiced meditation, or I grew up in a very religious family. My very Catholic mother. So my interpretation of spirituality was very different to what it is now. And so then I just started this blog, and it's been really great. And it definitely feeds my soul.
It's you grew up in this Catholic household, and how did that translate into acting and then coming here?
Escapism.
You ran away.
I basically ran away. No, it was really, for me, I grew up with a mother who's schizophrenic. So it was a really intense childhood. And I think acting was my escape. So I just enjoyed it. I thrived. It was this environment that I felt really comfortable in.
To be somebody else for a little while?
Truly, if I look at the psychology of it now, I think definitely that was a part of it, even though I didn't understand that at the time. I was like, this just feels really good. Mm. And then I got this little film in 2006 and ended up premiering at the Cannes Film Festival. And then my life just completely changed and totally flipped. And then I got thrust into America and I didn't know anyone. And yeah, it was really challenging.
Your English is fantastic.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I had that at least.
You didn't grow up very holistic.
Oh, the opposite. I had McDonald's every day, maybe three times a day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until you were here just not feeling good.
Yeah, I was so sad when I got here. I was like, why am I so sad? And then someone was like, why don't you start looking at your food intake and what you're eating and exercise. I had never thought about going to a gym or running outside. Actually, that was my agent.
We have so much in common, I just realized.
My agent was like, you should work out. You're an actor now. So I started doing it, and then I was like, wow, this actually feels really good. And then I started eating a little cleaner and learning about nutrition. And then all of a sudden, I was like, whoa, what is this world? It feels so magical and amazing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. What came first, the Zen Life or the TED Talks?
Zen Life. And then I just one day decided to be very candid in a video about some struggle I was going through. And I got these beautifully inspiring comments back where other people started sharing their stories. And then that's where Your Zen Life started to grow, because then I realized that it was a community where everyone could have a voice and we could all share our vulnerabilities and celebrate all the things that connect us rather than the things that separate us.
I think that's what's so touching. They're just so raw and real.
They're very
open. You just turn it on, you're like, this is, even the way they're shot, it's just like, this is me.
The phone rings, like my mom will pop in and my son's in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. I just personally feel like I have a responsibility to strip down the barriers between people who have a profile and the way that this industry, gosh, it gives such a false sense of reality, I think, and it can be quite detrimental to all the girls and the men who look up to us. And I'm trying to strip that away constantly because what you see on the red carpet and in the films is so not reality.
It makes expectations so high.
Yeah, totally.
But I think the reality is even better.
Yeah, I do. Like, it's interesting. I don't know why everything's so sugar-coated. I think maybe there's a movement towards stripping away some of that stuff and grounding it in some form of reality now. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've been trying to do with the website. And then Sarah and I got together and we had such a passion about just mothering our babies that we're like, how do we want to share our experiences and create a platform for everyone to do the same? So then that's how Your Zen Mama was born out of Your Zen Life.
It was born.
We birthed this baby.
Like our little baby.
That's right. So Sarah,
yes.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
What was your life growing up? Also religious, right?
Yes, extremely. Southern Baptist. My dad was a Southern Baptist minister. And so we grew up from as far back as I can remember in Sunday school and, you know, just trying to save the world.
But you're close to your family.
Yes, very close to my family.
So did you enjoy that upbringing?
It was interesting, like, looking back, I went through quite a lot of self-reflection in my early 20s where I'd like got married really young, got divorced, realized your parents aren't always the wealth of information and you have to seek out information other places and maybe, you know, maybe things aren't just rainbows and moonbeams. And so I spent this time sort of doing a full 180 and then came back to a place somewhere in the middle, but I found myself like finally for the first time in my life when I was like 22, making my own decisions and sort of like thinking about, I'd always been very independent, but I was like thinking about what everything meant to me, not just to the religion I was brought up in or to my parents or, you know, what image that I had to put out there as being this like perfect preacher's kid who never makes any mistakes and failure is not okay. And so, you know, it was a lot of time spent being like, wait, it is okay to fail and questioning things is good. That's how we learn. And, you know, finding more information and devouring that information and then taking it and changing yourself for the better, for you, for your family, for everything. That just became my life.
Like, did your immediate family feel rejected by that?
No, it was actually, you know, I think it was shocking at first. I just lost my dad this year. And we spent a lot of time actually talking about it during when he was really sick. And we talked about how I, you know, had sort of, he said, you know, when you like did this big flip and you started questioning everything in your life and you were like questioning the Bible and questioning the way that you were brought up. And, you know, I was sort of challenging him in every way. Like, what does this mean? And what does this mean? And why is it just this one way? And how is that possible? And when there weren't answers, I think it was startling for him too, and for my mom, you know? And it was like, my mom was just like, well, I don't know, I can't have this conversation. And my dad was like, he didn't have an answer for me. So then we sort of reflected together and eventually he got to a place where, you know, he became so much more open-minded about things in the world that he really hadn't thought about or talked about much other than the way that he was brought up too.
It's almost like you freed him.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, towards the end when we were talking about it, he really felt like he had just found this whole new world for himself where he really believed in love, and he always believed in love, but it was more of an open-minded love, an all-encompassing, like including everyone kind of love that sort of developed out of this period of time where he was also having some sort of self-reflection and reflection on where he was at his whole, you know, life.
So. I mean, religion by definition doesn't have all the answers. It's faith, and faith means you believe a certain amount, and then there's a gap between that and 100%, and that's filled in by faith.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of different ways to climb that religious mountain, and you know, we can each make our own.
Agreed.
Path. Where does your incredible positivity come from? I feel like I've been with you on a couple of journeys now, including losing your father while pregnant and having a toddler. And, you know, none of you ever seem to be trying to run away from it, just addressing it head on, but still always really, really positive. Is that something you always had, or is there some kind of drug you're taking? What is, can I have
the
some?
Drugs are so good. you know, it's funny. I feel like I've always had this, like, positive outlook on life. And part of that, I think, comes from really believing in, I believe in God. I believe in, you know, spirituality. I believe in a higher being. I believe in there being something out there. And part of it, too, is, like, you know, I had a great upbringing. I have a wonderful family. I'm grateful for every day that I'm alive and walking around. And I look at the world in a very positive light. When I was younger, I think that it was more in a naive kind of way because I didn't really understand the world so much. But, you know, I sort of like, I think when I did that, you know, big turn in my early 20s, it was like I was starting to lose some of that positivity and I was feeling lots of negative emotion about the world. It was just like so overwhelming to me how dark things could be. And then I realized I had to just, you know, let that stuff back in. And it's not, it's just something that, I don't know, it's just a part of me. I just,
it's an amazing part of you. You're so like, some people are like half full, half empty. You're like, even you're like, it's a quarter full. It's okay. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like one
half. Where's the positive light here? Right. Yes. Cynicism doesn't creep its way
even in. Even the text messages, just they like pop off the screen with all the
exclamation points.
I do love exclamation points. That is true.
Alexi Gilmore, where do you come from? Tell us about the...
I come originally from New York City. I was born there in Manhattan, and I lived there until I was 10, and then we moved to North Jersey, to New Jersey.
Jersey,
yeah.
That's different than Manhattan.
It is a little bit different. It's not the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
That is a whole other thing. Okay. But North Jersey is like, it's not that bad. It's okay. Actually a great place.
Well,
there's
just
a lot
different.
Of great
Manhattan
people
is just so compact with millions of people living on a little island.
Yeah.
And then North Jersey more spread out.
Yeah. It's nice because it's really close to the city still. It's like 20 minutes away from there. So
how
a lot
long
of
were you there for? Is your family still there?
No, now my parents are in Long Island.
Oh, that's a whole other story.
And my sister's in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, the family is still in New York.
Did you have the New York accent growing up?
I had...
Because it's gone.
It's gone
you
now,
like
but
nowhere.
It will come out sometimes when I'm like, call
drinking?
Me, whatever,
yeah.
You know, like the, but that's very, it was definitely beaten out of me. I think in college, I was a theater major and they're like, no, you cannot have any kind of regionalism accent. So I spoke like this with an American accent. Kind of British.
It is hot British.
It's a very really American accent.
Yeah.
Where'd you study theater?
At a really small school called DeSales University in Pennsylvania.
And they beat New York out of you.
They did.
At DeSales.
They did. In the cornfields.
And then when did you come here?
I came here 7 years ago. Why did I come here? Or
well,
when?
Whatever. Yeah.
Oh.
Why did you come here?
You know, I had been working as an actress.
Basically because I begged you to.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. Sarah pretty much convinced me to move. When we worked on Surfer Dude, the great Surfer Dude.
The greatest Matthew McConaughey movie out there.
Ever. We really did. I like completely fell in love with Sarah. You talk about that infectious thing, you know, positivity.
Yes, yeah.
I saw that right away. And we were just like two puppies in the field. And we're like, when are the cookies coming out? And we were just
they would like
to be next to each other.
On set.
Yeah,
They would like bring them out and they'd be warm. And Alexi and I would be laying on these towels outside waiting for our scene because we didn't have trailers.
It was like unbuttoning the top of our jeans.
Trying to get like a little, you know, sun. And then, you know, the guy would come out and he's like, the cookies are ready. We'd be like, look, we'll get chocolate chip cookies so and many ice cream. Cookies.
Yeah, we didn't have much restraint. So, yeah, we worked 3 days with each other. And so from that,
we became
really close. And so I was coming back and forth, you know, from New York to LA, work stuff. And then I all of a sudden was just like, I've lived in New York now as an adult for almost 9 years. And I was like, I think maybe it's time to live somewhere else.
Were you acting in New York?
Yeah.
Theater?
I was doing more TV and film there, really. Oh. So that's why I was like, I'm not really doing much theater here, like why not try LA? And so Sarah was like, yes. And Sarah literally like mapped things out on her phone. She was like, brought me to neighborhoods, and she clocked like how fast it would be to walk to a coffee shop. Like, she was amazing. And she found places. She'd go and talk to the landlord for me. She's like, I think we can talk him down. You know? So she was really a big part of me moving here. And she was my first friend here, really. And she pretty much just introduced me to all of what became like my great friends here as well. So, you know, Casey Bixby, who's been on
Casey,
podcast.
Our
yes.
Co-host and, from Hawaii.
Yeah. And Anna Anisimova.
Oh, yes. Who had her baby practically on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Sarah. We still got a little time. I know. I'm just warming up.
Trying, man.
I have an incredible offer for you for my friends at Needed. An astounding 95% of women aren't meeting their omega-3 needs. Omega-3 fatty acids, especially DHA and EPA, are crucial for both mother and baby. They support brain and eye health, maternal mood, immunity, and much more. But it can be hard to get enough omega-3 from diet alone, especially during pregnancy when many people are averse to eating fish. And if you've ever taken a fish oil pill, you know just how unpleasant that can be. That's why I'm excited to share that my friends at Needed have revolutionized the omega-3 supplement with two different options designed specifically for mamas. An omega-3 powder that blends into smoothies and a pill option that tastes like fresh citrusy bergamot. Both are sustainably sourced from vegan algae, not fish. Both are great options for nausea and sensitive-prone mamas. Needed's omega-3 powder is delivered in liposomes, nature's very cool way of protecting and delivering omega-3, just like in breast milk. Needed's omega-3 is clinically proven to be 5 times better absorbed than fish oil pills. The powder is mild-tasting, and it pairs great with Needed's prenatal multi-powder and collagen protein powder in a daily smoothie. If powder isn't your thing, Needed's got you covered with those omega-3 plus capsules, which have a pleasant citrus flavor. Needed is sharing an awesome pre-order discount just for my listeners. Buy two, get one free on either omega-3 option, powder or capsules. You can stock up on either one or try them both. With this exclusive discount, use code 3BERLIN, the number 3BERLIN at thisisneeded.com. Put 3 omega-3s in your cart. Use the code number 3BERLIN at thisisneeded.com. Buy two, get one free.
Okay. And so, but a lot of all those three that you just mentioned had babies. Mm-hmm. And so you bring an interesting perspective because you're getting to watch your friends change as they have babies, I imagine.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And I'm always curious how we change once we have kids. I mean, it becomes all consuming, right?
Yeah. I mean, I look at my friends and my sister and now my mom with so much appreciation. And I'm like, how do you do it? I'm just trying to pencil in my Kundalini yoga in the morning. And I'm like, I got to get ready for my audition. And then I'm like, I think about that all the time. I'm like, how do they do it with toddlers and babies and more than one of them sometimes? And
sometimes.
And I'm so inspired by that.
Do their personalities change? Or just the priorities?
I think if anything, it makes them even better. For me, seeing my friends that have had babies, I just see, I just really see their hearts open even more. It's just like this compassion, I think, that comes from having a child, that I've seen that from my friends.
So it's not scaring you away?
No, it makes me just think how awesome I would be if I
can. Yeah. You will.
We're all just practicing our craft to be ready for you.
That's great.
Ivy, your whole lifestyle is very zen, I would think. But let's define zen. You lead meditation and yoga. You're a yoga instructor.
Mm-hmm.
So zen is technically a form of meditation. What does it mean to you?
Well, I think it comes from a sect of Buddhism, which is very much about balance and peace and outer peace as a reflection of the peace we find inside. And so in a way, it's a very revolutionary approach to life because so much of our attention in modern culture is directed outwards to changing things in the world and what do we want to create for ourselves in our lives. And Zen practice asks us to turn within and find those places inside, you know, whatever resides inside, whether it's a feeling we might be afraid to feel or any kind of shadow aspect of ourselves or our lives, and to just be present with that, to allow that to shift.
Do you get that from meditation and yoga when you do your practice?
You can. I mean, I think meditation has become so pervasive that there's a lot of different ways to meditate, and I think sometimes it can even be misused, and we can kind of turn to meditation almost as a way to avoid looking at things or feeling things, mm-hmm. and you know, get this kind of Zen high without really addressing things in our lives that need to be addressed. But for the most part, it's a wonderful tool to become more conscious.
Zen high is my new community for dads.
Come get Zen high. It's not a bad way to go.
No.
That was such a beautiful way to describe that. To me, that just resonates. I was like, wow.
That was so eloquent. Mm-hmm. It was so beautifully described.
It's really a broad picture. I mean, it sounds like what you were going through, right? You took a background that led you to a place where you weren't feeling very good,
mm-hmm.
and you found the tools necessary to bring your life to a better place.
Yeah, I think when you source happiness from external places, it's when you can get into trouble. And ultimately, what we need to be doing is sourcing it internally. So that's, for me, that was my journey.
Incredible, because those things don't cost anything.
That's right.
Anybody can look inside. Anybody can do yoga. Anybody can meditate. 100%. I mean, the classes are maybe expensive, but you don't need them, right?
No. I just even just do reading on the internet too. Find articles. I'm a huge, huge fan of Eckhart Tolle. He's like one of my greatest teachers. I go and see him speak. I've read all his books. I listen to his podcasts. So I think you just find what it is that resonates with you and what you feel connected to. And for that for me, his writing totally recharges me. But yeah, it's your own self-discovery. You just figure out what works. And
it's incredible. You're also very positive.
Yeah, I'm
you're very positive. You really are about everything. You take things from a very positive perspective. It's just with Sarah in the room, we all feel a little less positive than we could be. that's what I'm picking up.
Were you that positive even during that dark time you described?
No, I felt it was a really challenging period for me. I was so alone. I felt so alone. And on the other side of the world, didn't know anyone. I was really sad then. But I kind of lent into the feeling. I used to run away from any feelings like that and warrior through it. I'm fine. It's okay. I'm not feeling that. Suppress the feelings. And then when I was here, I mean, I just had so much time. I was hardly auditioning as well, which is just messing with my head. And so I just lent into it. I was like, all right, I got to go through this. I can't just get around it. And it was like through that pain that I think that's when I became super positive and realized that I had everything within me. I didn't need it from anything else. I mean, it was all in there. So that was really nice.
Tell me about pregnancy, your first pregnancies. And are you always going to time your pregnancies to be pregnant?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a life pact.
Yeah, we always do.
But now that she's having a girl,
my sons are going to be fighting over her. That's who's going to win out?
I don't know.
What's going to happen?
I don't know.
I feel sorry for them.
Will she go for the older man or her?
Or the same age. What do we do?
I know.
We'll have to wait till we meet her and see what her vibe is.
I'm glad you pointed that out. Now I'm going to have to stay friends with you to see how this turns out for a while.
You're never going to get away from me.
Okay, good.
You know, it's funny. Therese and I met through a mutual friend. A long time ago.
Yeah.
And neither of us were pregnant. I'm not even sure I was married to Eric yet. Was I married? Or no, I was.
You
I?
Weren't. Because no. I saw the picture, the engagement picture, that amazing, glorious photo.
Yes. But anyway, so when we met at this breakfast, we were there with, I think, two other girls. I can't even remember the other person that was there. But we talked the whole time about babies.
About babies.
Oh, really?
Having babies. We wanted to be mamas.
We wanted to be mamas. It was like our whole thing.
We already married?
No,
I was not even with the
this
boyfriend.
This was like boyfriends and boyfriends ago.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a long time ago.
Yeah, okay. I had a lot of 2-year relationships.
Okay.
There's hope for us, Alexi.
Yes. Yeah, it was like many boyfriends before. No, we were just talking about babies. And so it was like, you know, after that, we stayed friends and she traveled and worked and I was working. And then eventually I don't remember, like one day out of the blue, I called you and was like, come over to my house. And I told her I was pregnant and I, it was visible and she was so excited. And then she found out she was pregnant like
a month later.
Wow. Yeah.
So boys are only 6 months apart.
Please do not hang out with my wife.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's is I do hang out with your wife.
I know.
Your wife sends me out. Oh,
I'm sure there's going to be a surprise when I get home tonight.
Oh, God. I know. So anyway, that's how we got pregnant together.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we did it again.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
And now they're closer. These babies are going to be closer in age. These babies are going to be 4 months apart.
Yeah.
First round was 6 months apart. It's getting closer and closer.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait next time. Same date.
Same date. Let's do it.
And maybe in the same continent.
Yeah.
You're already zen at this point. You're already zen, Teresa. No, you're getting zen.
I was newly zen.
Newly zen. You're a zen newbie.
I was still figuring it out.
With your first pregnancy?
Yeah.
But you guys.
I was like, I was in very much in my journey still when I got.
No more McDonald's.
No more McDonald's.
That's what I'm saying. You already had moved.
Had moved from
nutritionally, you're working out, you're in a better mental place, you're looking inside and finding things.
Yes, certainly. Yeah, for sure.
And Sarah, you're gluten free and you like sugar, but you're gluten free.
I love sugar.
I love that about
don't tell
you.
My and husband
Mexican food.
And I love Mexican food. No, but it was, you know, interesting. Like I started doing a ton of research when I found out that I was pregnant, even beforehand though, like a whole year or two before, I was, you know, taking all kinds of vitamins and I was reading everything that I could get my hands on. And that's part of, I think, a continuing passion for me in life has been like finding information, devouring information, and how am I going to apply that and what's, you know, what's good out of that information to apply to my life, what's going to work for me, my family, my kids, my friends. And so that was, you know, with my first pregnancy, it was just doing the research. And at some point, I think I was like 4 months pregnant, something happened with my rib. I came and I found you.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and things changed.
I wanted to have a natural birth, but I told you there, I was like, oh, I always wanted to have a home birth. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't really know much about it here. And like, I'd heard about, you know, the farm midwives and that magical thing. And I'd remember telling Eric, like, oh, you know, it'd be so fun if we could just like go to Tennessee for a couple of months. And that was never going to happen because he works too much. And so, you know, but I remembered like laying on the table at your office and we were talking and you were like, so why are you having this birth that we're discussing? And I was like, you know, it's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it because I don't know. I think I'm just sort of following protocol that I've been going to the same OBGYN ever since I had come out here to LA. And I wasn't even crazy about her. And I don't even know why I continued going to her. And I even felt like she didn't even know who I was after 8 years. And so, you know, I finally was like, yeah, you're right. I got to figure this out more. And then that's when everything changed.
I remember you left and there was like, you were on a journey, on a journey, on a journey. And then I thought she just took a big turn off that path. And then you followed up with like, I need more information about this, more information about that. And I felt like, you know, I think some people, and we'll get to birth more, but I think some people definitely feel more safe, comfortable in a hospital with a doctor. But it's not what you came in with. Mm-mm. You came in with like, you know, I'm going to have this hospital birth with a doctor, but it's not really what I want. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like a matter of pointing you in the right direction and you ran with it.
Yeah, I mean, really, you just asked me a question. And when you asked me the question, I was like, the fact that I don't have a good answer for you means that I need to work on this more. I need to figure this out, you know? And I like that. It's a weird, jarring feeling when you get asked a question and all of a sudden you're like, I don't know. There's no good answer.
How was pregnancy? How did you like the pregnancy?
I loved it. I love being pregnant. Both times I've loved it, and for very different reasons. But with my son, you know, the moment I found out I was pregnant, it was like electricity went off in my body. And I knew that it was going to be a boy, that when I first, you know, found out. And I was very excited when I found out that it was a boy. And then throughout the pregnancy, besides like a few physical things that you helped me with, I had a great pregnancy. It was awesome.
At the end of it, you went to Wyoming.
Yeah, I always go, now this is my tradition, that when
I'm eight
months pregnant, I got to paddleboard the Teton River, got to go kayaking, go hiking. You know, paddleboard in the ocean.
Yeah, she does more activities at 8.5 months than I do.
I know, that's what I was saying. That also was
pictures, out in the middle of the water.
It did not slow you down at all.
No. You should have been on our Birth Fit podcast.
Oh, yeah, right before this. Pumping iron. So, and taking a bath in a horse trough, is that no lie?
No lie. It was so hot there that I was finding every watering hole. Actually, the best was not the horse trough that we filled up every day with like ice cold water from the well. But, you know, it was that we had heard this chatter about a rock quarry. And I was like, a rock quarry? Oh, that's so cool. They're like, you have to hike up to the top of this rock quarry and the water comes down off the mountain. It's this great water hole. And I was like, awesome. I was so hot. I was so pregnant. I was like, let's do it. And so we hike up there and, you know, it is this like magical looking watering hole. It was huge. There was a big waterfall that went into it. So I start swimming around in there and I'm like, felt something against my leg. And I was like, what is that? And so I'm sort of like, Eric, I think there's something in here. There's some sort of fish or something that's kind of weird. Then all of a sudden, I see a mud puppy, and Google it right now. Google mud puppy, fish. And it's like, I'm showing you that it was this long, so I don't even know how long that is. What do you think that is? It looks prehistoric. Prehistoric. Like these big weird fins that come out the side of its face.
Ugh.
I had never seen anything like it. It was so creepy with this like tadpole tail. And I was like, I'm staying in here. It's so awesome. But my husband was like, you need to get out of this watering hole. I don't know what these things are. I don't know what they can do to us. Like, they were everywhere. I was like, okay.
Is it actually called the mud puppy?
I think so.
Oh,
I mean,
it's creepy looking.
It's so creepy looking. Oh, and God. They were really big. They look prehistoric. I mean, it looks like a dinosaur head and like a tadpole body.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I would have run.
Yeah.
Finally found something.
So the horse trough was actually quite lovely compared to the mud
swimming around in there.
Pulpit.
New creatures.
Thank you for joining us on the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. That concludes part one of the Zen Mamas. For notes, links, and pictures from this podcast, visit informedpregnancy.com. And your questions and comments are always welcome via email at info@informedpregnancy.com.
I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.